Welcome to the Mumbrella Cast. I'm Tim Burrows. More known from last month's Mumbrella 360 conference. I'm chatting with Nick Baker from Tourism Australia.
Good morning, everybody. And first of all, thanks to Tim and to Mumbrella for inviting me along here and having the chance to talk to you all today. As Tim said, this has been a very, very big week for us with the launch of our new campaign. And as with all of you, when you launch campaigns or when you're involved in campaigns, one of the first things you do is go and scroll onto Mumbrella and look at what people have been saying about you. Always an interesting thing, always some interesting points there, give you a different reflection on it. And hopefully I'll be able to address some of those points during the course of my presentation. But one of the ones I wanted to start off with is a question was asked, what's this bloody POM doing, leading Tourism Australia's marketing? So when I first arrived here, I arrived here just before Australia Day, it was something like 18, 19 years ago now, and I asked everybody in the office where I was working, and I said, this is great, what does everyone do? And they said, oh, well, it celebrates our national day, and people go out and all these kind of things. And I said, great, I'm going to go to the beach. And they said, oh, it's going to be tricky. It's going to be absolutely packed when you get there. It'll be loads of people all over the place. You won't be able to get a park, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So having come just from Hong Kong and Europe just before that, I was envisaging, you know, tailbacks, all the kind of things. I arrived at the beach, and to my surprise, there was very few people around there, what I consider very few people around there. And I went looking at different beaches, and I actually went to one beach, Longrock Reef, and I actually thought it was a problem, and I couldn't go onto the beach because there's so few people. I came back into the office the next day and mentioned this, and everyone said, no, that was very busy. And it was at that moment that I realised that a lot of Australians don't realise how extraordinary this country is, how great you guys have got it here, or we all have got it here. And that was one of the points that I decided that would be great to continue working here and living here, and calling Australia home, which I now do. So the first thing I want to do is take you through a little bit of a background of what we've been doing and over the last week and some of the campaigns and some of the things we've been involved in. Our world. So to give you a brief of what our world entitles. Tourism is a $74 billion industry in this country. It has about 22.9 million stakeholders, that's all of Australia, and quite a few of you made your comments known on Brumbrella about how you feel about the ad. In fact, sometimes I think there's nearly 23 million people out there that actually figure they can do my job better than me. I'm sure many of them are right. The industry employs about 900,000 people directly and indirectly. It is the second largest employer in this country. We, Tourism Australia, market in 22 markets in 17 languages around the world. So everything we have to do is really of a global scale. So our challenge is we set ourselves as this common goal, which is called the 2020, our tourism vision, which was to look at the industry and where we wanted to go and try and take the industry from a $70 billion industry to a $140 billion industry by 2020. Our common ground was that we had this challenge. We had this challenge to be able to try and tell this story in 22 markets in 17 languages. We have that against the backdrop of continuous change. So how do we go about doing that? There's nothing like Australia. This was the first launch with a brand truth. And it was both as a brand truth and as a campaign line. There is nothing like. It was a simple message that we thought there is nothing like this country. It stands out. And we knew this from a whole lot of research that we've done. This was really born out of two key insights. The first one, that the world travels to experience difference. When people go on holiday, they want to experience something different. They want to change. They want to be transformed. They want to have something that takes them out of their normal lives. And in a lot of the world, very heavy urbanized world, that's just a sense of freshness and space that this country delivers. The second part of this is given this challenge we've got from a communications platform, how do we get out there? Because we haven't got a budget that enables us to be on TV all around the world all the time. We realized also in travel that word of mouth is perhaps still, or is and was, the most powerful medium for talking to people. We now have that opportunity to do word of mouth at scale. So when we did this, we thought about, well, what's the next iteration of the campaign? The campaign launched very successfully, was taken up, and we've had numerous 180 plus partners around the world putting their money into our campaigns. We then thought, well, what do we do next? And we realized that we wanted to lead with our best. We thought this is something that all marketers know, you lead with your best. But traditionally, Tourism Australia has had to sort of appeal to everybody. It had to put a very broad church view of the country to the world, to not leave out any stakeholders. But we said, really, the world doesn't exist like that. The consumer doesn't exist like that. You all know that. You have to lead with your breast. Whether you're a car company and you're putting out your top brand that may only attract 2% of sales but 20% of your marketing dollars. Whether you're a fashion brand and you're going out there and spending all this money on a catwalk that very few people, except for perhaps a few chosen ones in here, can actually afford. While most people go forward and buy stuff off the rack. So we knew we had to lead with our best. So what we had done is we established the rational reason for There's Nothing Like Australia. We went out with the first campaign 2 years ago and we asked Australians to say why they thought There Was Nothing Like Australians. And over that sort of period of a year, we had over 60,000 stories from Australians about why there was nothing like Australia. They'd uploaded a photograph and little stories, and we took those and translated some of them around the world to start telling the stories about why there was nothing like. So we got Australians to be the advocates for Tourism Australia and start telling the bigger story around the world. We are now moving into the next phase of that, which is the emotional side of it, the connective side, the bit where we actually get together with people and really inspire them to come to this country and to really go on the next part of the journey, on the journey with us. But some things have changed. High cost. Australia is no longer a low-cost destination. We all know what's happened with the dollar, although we have seen it fall off a bit, and we're all kind of keen for that to continue going down there. Roadblocks, constant disruptions. We know that we've had Arab Springs that's been out there, the Occupy movement, sovereign debt. All these issues are affecting the customers that we're going after. And when you're in a situation like Tourism Australia, where you're sort of dealing with not just customers on your own doorstep, but as far diverse as people from Germany and from China and from Indonesia, there's an amazing amount of things that you've got to do and get a hold of. And yes to that one person on Umbrella who commented that does Tourism Australia really understand China and understand the world? Yeah, we kind of do, I think, probably a little better than that person who thought we did nothing or knew nothing about what we did. We spend a lot of time working on research to try and get our figures to do that, and sometimes we get it right. We have 180 competitors around the world that also come along and are trying to get people's dollars right now. And that's something that a lot of people, when they think about a country, don't actually realise from a competitive situation how we're put. But we have 180 NTOs, National Tourist Authorities, that are out there trying to actively get people to go and to come to their countries. People are realising the power of it. On the positive, we have a much better knowledge now of the customers. We spend a lot of time during the last year and lead up to this new campaign finding out more about our customers. Not just the strength of demographics, but the work that we did. And we did this together with our media partner, OMD, and produced a very comprehensive study of what our customers are doing out there. Social, I've already mentioned, this is word of mouth at scale. How do we activate that? How do we use that? How do we get advocacy out of that? How do we turn fans into advocates? And perhaps the big one that I'm going to spend a little moment on is China, which is at our doorstep. Massive potential. Why China? 500,000 Chinese visitors to our country. 20% growth over the last year. And it's the number one must-see destination in China. In 2011, there was 30 million Chinese who traveled abroad in the first 6 months of 2011. 30 million. In the US, there was 28.5 million people who traveled abroad in 2010 in the whole year. So when you look at that and you start understanding the scale of what's out there, the numbers of people that are moving, you understand our opportunity. There is also 100 companies, 100 countries out there that are competing against us in there. There's 100 countries that have actively set up their stall in China to try and bring people to their country. So we realize we've got to be in there. Now we've been in there for about 10 years. And done a pretty good job now increasing, and we're one of the leaders in growth out of this market. So we know that there's more potential to come, so it's a really important part for our industry to gather on, particularly when other markets, as we can all understand, are doing much worse. How are we going to do that? Well, then we came to our film. Now, this thing, as I've already mentioned, was something that we wanted to inspire people with. We wanted to try and get people to really emotionally attached to Australia, try and overcome the rational barriers of time, distance, cost coming to this country. One of the first things that we did with this is we identified a piece of music that was going to sit behind that. Some of you may remember we worked together with YouTube Symphony Orchestra when they came here, I think it was about January, February last year. And they brought people from all around the world to come and play in this symphony orchestra they put together. And they chose Australia to do that. And we thought, this is fantastic. How do we link up with this? So we identified four people in that orchestra and paired them up with four Australian, relatively unknown artists, and took those four pairings around the country to different places to write an original composition, a piece of work that could be inspired by the land, by the people that they met, to write this original piece of work. A song to the land, if you like, something that they felt as travellers through it, what the country gave to them. And it's one of those pieces of music that really came to the fore. And Dylan, who's the ECD of DDB, who we've done this together, was really driving this at this point. After we had the music as a key element for our campaign, it was a real key call out between ourselves and DDB that this was going to be something that was really going to focus for it. And so we underscored that with that. And then the job was simply to go and look at what is best about this country. What are the most iconic places in this country? What are the experiences that really bring this to life? And in this, we wanted to look at, we viewed the character, we viewed the land, if you like, as a character in this. We didn't want to have anybody stand up in front of it or any key individual. We wanted the land to really tell its own story. And that was one of the key themes through it. The rest was just to get some of the most incredible footage and all these little stories that play out through it to come to life. But as all of you guys know, and you know you guys are all in marketing, and it's always difficult when you're up here as a marketer talking to marketing experts and out there to sort of tell you your own story. But one thing I think we all know is that it's not just about a big ad. It's about the complete story. How are you going to bring that ad to life? And as I've already mentioned, we haven't got enough money to go out and put this into markets all around the world and play it out on TVCs and on cinema. So we have to look at digital, we have to look at other ways of doing this. But one of the things we wanted to do is help that next step. Often when you have an ad, it's up here, and particularly when you've got a product that isn't well known, and around the world, despite what a lot of us would like to think, Australia isn't necessarily the top thing in everyone's mind. It's difficult to go from one ad, a 30-second or a print ad or a piece of digital work, through to a massive big website, to actually understand how I go about going on holiday, what next steps I should take, and to stop the constant deluge of people saying, go to my place, buy my thing. So what we wanted to do is create something in the middle, and we thought about this notion of storytellers, which is at Tourism Australia what effectively we see ourselves as. And we thought, well, how do we tell a story in today's world? How do we bring that to life? And one of the things we looked at was, now that we're going after a sort of a more higher yielding audience around the world, was the tablet. And we looked at the tablet because it's one of those first devices that went more to boardrooms and meeting rooms rather than to playgrounds. And it's also a very highly visual one to be able to bring our story to life and where we could interact and put different things together. So we teamed up with a company to actually produce one of the world's first fully interactive tablet apps for travel. And this is really, I guess, a cross between a travel guide, a travel show, and a book. And at its very best, it's a story about 13 different couples or families that had their holidays, their experiences, while travelling around Australia to the 13 different locations that you saw in that ad that we did. So now I'm going to show you a little bit about how to go. As we are in marketing, you can go onto the Apple Store or the Android Store and download this app, actually. It's great. But I'll soon see if you're the judges of that. So the app works as opening a book, and this is the book. And inside this, there's full audio through all of it, but I didn't want to push that out to you today, what goes on. The first thing you see, obviously, is the ad that plays out here. And then from that, you can go into the map, which then looks at all the 13 different locations around the country where we shot this. And I'm doing this all from my iPad here at the moment, so this isn't a pre-recorded place. So then the 13 places pop up, and then you can decide which ones to go to. So I know maybe today, the idea of going to Hayman Island. And then once you get there, you have two options. Either you can experience more about the whole Hayman Island effect, or else you can discover more of what's going on in there. So we'll start off by experiencing a bit about Haman. So then this goes into, if you like, the Haman Island chapter in the book. And this is the story of these people that are looking for a holiday. And then you just activate it through using swipe, and it talks about this family and their need for a holiday and why they went out there and their dream of going sailing around the Whit Sundays. And as you go through the book, it peels off different layers and different parts of the story come up. And various different times, things happen. You might get a bit of video that's interlaced into here, or might be able to get some animation happening and think movement inside it, but it affects what it is a book. It brings to life the stories of what's happening out there in the course of this family's adventure in Haman Island. So what it does is it starts telling you a bit more about Haman Island, a bit more about Australia, a bit more about the journey they've been on. Then you can do options and you can just go through here and you can scroll along all the other different places that you might like to go. We could go up to Cape Levesque, which is a stunning place up there. And up comes the Cape Levesque story. And once you go into that, again, you go through the same thing, and it's about this different sort of story that happens up there. And then when you're in the Cape Levesque story, you might say, well, actually, this camel thing looks a really good idea. I want to know more about this. So what you do is you go into and you tap on Discover, and this takes you to all the different experiences up there, takes you to a map, and there's a little piece of embedded film that we've made here that talks about that particular area. And whilst you're up there, it's geolocated. You can find out where it is on map. You can go and share all of this stuff that comes off here, or else you can go into any one of these sort of destinations here, and you can just tap on one and find out more detail about that particular location in there. And in addition to that, you can go straight out of there and go onto their website. So you can go along to their website and find out even more detail. So if you imagine the top of our funnel, we've got this great big ad that's going out there, and then gradually we bring people through with this app by telling them a bit more of the stories of the different places, and hopefully get them both inspired and informed about what's going on. That always is the ultimate goal for us, to inspire and to inform. We also then did this on our website. So we created a new hub for our website, australia.com, where when you go onto this, those 13 stories are there, you can watch our video, and you can go in to find out a whole lot more about what's going on in each of the individual places on the website, not just on the app itself. We've also created this for our mobile, we've got on our mobile site, our M site. So again, you've got this ability to take people through this journey of inspiration to information, which is really the sort of passage, I guess, that we're trying to do with this whole new campaign. The next part I'd like to talk about, and the sort of closing bit, is on about social and the role that that's played, because you've already heard me talk about the importance of it. And we can amplify our stories by involving other people. And what we've done in this is we've looked at the whole role of stories, and we understand, as you all do, that the best stories are often told by other people. And we all know that it's always better to have other people telling your stories about you rather than yourself. So we do that. But when we talk about social, we don't just do it as matching luggage. It's not just, here's an add-on, here's social, as is so often there. It has to be done for its own sake, for the own reasons, and done very, very well in order to be able to gain any kind of momentum on that. So for us, it's really not just about campaigns, it's about building platforms. What are the platforms people are going to talk to us on? What are the platforms we're going to engage with people on? Because as with a tablet, we know that once you actually engage with a brand, it is far more powerful. You leapfrog any ads that you do because you already start that conversation. So this is our way of doing that leapfrog, by engaging with people. We've had an explosive growth in social. We now receive, in Tourism Australia, we receive about 1,400 photographs a week on our fan page. And we receive somewhere between 500 to 1,000 photographs a day through Instagram. So we're sort of getting 5,000 or 6,000 photographs a week coming through to us through different platforms. Now that is amazingly powerful, because it tells you what's going on out there. It shows you what people are interested in. It gives you great research into how people are thinking about what you're doing. And this really provides an extraordinary platform for how we work and how we bring social into the mainstream. Advocacy. This is all about people telling, as I've mentioned, their stories to the people around the world, connecting more with people. We now have just over 3 million people on Facebook. Some of you might have seen we built a cake 2 meters high of a kangaroo to celebrate 3 million. And Jesse, who's the head of our social team, put this out there, and again, it was immediately picked up by our fans and looked at as another way of saying to them, thank you very much for helping us get to where we are. But that 3 million fans, what that does is it brings us out to a potential of sort of 360 million people, i.e. people that they network with, they connect with. We all know, on average, everybody has 160 fans. So it sort of spills out to this and just explodes into this massive, massive sort of weight of information and people talking about us. So how do we do this? How do we get to 3 million fans? How have we managed to achieve a lot of the stuff there? Because getting people's attention is not easy. All of you who have got work in social and are involved in it, you realize it's not an easy thing to do, get to cut through the clutter and get people to become your fans. We've done it simply through the proposition of making our fans the hero. This is about James Jimmy. He looks at these photos every week, and it's part of his thing. And we've got thousands and thousands of people like him that come out and they look at all of our stuff and they get inspired by it. And when we read through the reviews, the comments that people post, it is extraordinary the amount of information they give you and about how excited they can become. And also, it's very easy to find out when they're not excited, when you're doing the wrong thing. So by listening to the fans, making them heroes and creating platforms really drives what's going on behind it. So one of the fans I want to talk to you now is about a guy called Harry. Harry Wiley goes onto our Facebook up to 10 times a day. He comments on it, he's there. Now what happens is that when somebody goes onto it and says, Australia's too expensive, or Australia doesn't welcome Asian people, or any of these comments we all get for our brands, Harry's there. And with multitudes like Harry to comment back and saying, I love this country, it's great, I've never had this experience. Or when people come onto it and say, I'm thinking about going up to Scone, or I'm thinking about going to wherever in this country, he will talk about the places he's been to, how wonderful it was, how to connect up there. In effect, he becomes part of our social media team. We have all these people doing that. Now, as part of this, we wanted to find out, well, who is Harry? Who are all these people that are doing this massive job for us constantly out of love for the brand, love for the country, and for what we're doing? So we looked at Harry. Here's Harry. Harry is 81 years of age, right? He and his wife have been married for 50 years. They've been retired for 26 years. And every year they spend 3 months on the road going around Australia. During that time, they know a lot about this country. So anybody that thinks that social media platforms are really all for kids is absolutely nonsense. It is amazing the people that you turn up by listening and looking at who you've got there. So he's become a great fan of ours and a great supporter of ours, and thanks, Harry. Real-time PR is what this is about. This is about bringing to life the things that we do at the right time. And what it enables us through social is to actually understand what's going on in the world. One of the things that we did is we had a look at how you can, you know, you understand this concept of newsjacking, where you get a news story, and on that news story, you have a look at it, and you say, okay, I'm going to take an element of that, insert my brand, and bring the whole thing together. Well, this is just one little story of how we did that. So Jesse was out doing his shopping on a Sunday evening at Woolworths, and while he was out there, he noticed that a fan had posted this image of the supermoon. Remember when we had the supermoon a little while back? So he got there and thought, oh, this is a stunning shot. I'm going to repost it on our page. So he did that some 20 minutes later. He then also said, well, let's have a look at what else can happen overnight. So 150 other photos of that supermoon shot came through. We then looked at taking sort of 14 or 15 of the best ones and reposting them out there. In 24 hours later, 1.9 million people had been reached with those shots. 50,000 people had liked them, 2,000 people had commented on them, 5,000 people had shared them. So if you want to see how word of mouth can work, how the social platform can work, how you can bring your messages, and we obviously put our messages into that, that's how we sort of brought the whole thing together through this sort of idea of newsjacking and bringing relevant news topics to try and enforce the brand. The last thing I wanted to leave you with now is this notion of before, during, and after. When people go on holiday, it's divided into three bits. Before you go on holiday, and after holiday. I won't do the question now, but if you can imagine you've got 100% of satisfaction across those three bits, how much satisfaction do you have, how much enjoyment do you drive in on before holiday? All the planning, all the thinking about it, planning to go on holiday. How much when you're actually in the holiday, when you're all out there with everybody? And how much do you enjoy the bit afterwards, where you come back, you've got the memories, you share and do all that? Some research was done by American Express, and it came out to the fact that 40% of enjoyment is derived pre, 20% only was derived during, and 40% after. What that got us to thinking is, well, what's the future? What is our next step now that we've done this? And we liken it to this idea of trip echo, which is kind of like the idea about the lifetime value of a customer, which is changing now from just I'm spending this year, this the next year, this the next year, and multiplying it, through to the echo that this person leaves, about how they talk about the country, in our case. Pre-social, they'd go back and they'd show their slides, their photographs, and they'd connect with a few people. But the real value for us of having people having a great experience in this country, the real value of word of mouth at speed, the real value of inspiring people when they come here, is that when they go back, they start telling their friends their stories. The sort of idea of Facebook jealousy, when people see people's Facebook posts, they want to go on holiday. This is the trip echo, this is the world we live in now. Our next goal is how do we activate this, how do we bring that all to the fore so we have all those people out there telling the stories of Australia, doing the job for Tourism Australia. Thank you all very much for listening.
Opportunity in a moment to ask a question or two, so please do start to have any think about what your question might be. Now, Nick, as you mentioned in your presentation, every single Australian feels entitled to have a view on what you do. I can't think of another brand quite like it. It must add up to a lot of pressure. Does it also make it hard to do the right thing?
I think it is definitely there. It really does put a lot of pressure under you. When you are out there and you've got to do something for the country, we have this sort of thing where we look at, well, how do Australian people want to be seen? And most Australians want to be seen with a greater sense of modernity, a sense of sophistication, a sense of worldliness about them. But a lot of times, a lot of people around the rest of the world want to see us as this great sense of mateship, open spaces, this laid-back, barracking kind of lifestyle, which is, you know, seen by a lot of people as something they really want to come over and experience. So trying to position those rights so people in Australia feel proud about their country, and they do, they use it as a default for their country and for themselves, makes it very difficult on us. There's a lot of pressure to get that mix right.
Now, you touched on some of the feedback in the umbrella comment, but one of the comments I saw was, if there's one thing the ad has got, it's got amazing production values. $4 million once you added the digital elements, which is a lot of money to put into one particular campaign, and that's before you go to the media spend of it. And at the same time, it felt clear that wasn't necessarily such a big idea in the ad. You know, it was a great showcase for Australia. Does it matter?
I think the one thing is, if you're going to go out and show the country in its best light, if you're going to try and bring this country to life, you've got to do it justice. And the guys at DDB and Sean, the director, were very keen with us that we shot this whole thing on film. Now, here's the trick. When you're shooting for Australia and you're going to try and show everyone a holiday destination, you don't want to do it in the rain. So when we went go out on that, the first day we're into the shoot, we're sitting on Hayman Island, and there's two cyclones sitting in the next two destinations we go to. We have to turn the plane around and go south. It's an expensive exercise to get it right, and it really is an expensive, but you have to do it right, because it's not just about the film up there, really, that you see. It's about how that lives in digital. In today's world, you've got to have absolutely top quality visuals in digital. You can't just expect people to see it from a cam recorder, because I'm sure we have those 23 million Australians sort of going up against us. So yes, we need to spend it. And as regards the big idea, we thought that there's been enough times when you need big ideas, and you sort of joke around this, you put this person into it. But we just wanted something that was simple, was highly emotional and evocative, and something that really just inspire people, hopefully, to be to look at that and to want to go on holiday, either in their own country, Australia, or from around the world to come here. I suppose the big idea was connecting that with the website through the tablet application, Tim, and trying to bring that story to life.
Now, you mentioned BBB, you work with OMDs and media agencies as well. In the future, there'll be other agencies you work with. When you look around, what do you want to see in an agency's portfolio that's going to make you want to work with them in the future?
I think that's an interesting thing, because it's only a little while ago that we went out and did the search for and found OMD, who look after our media, our search and around the world, and some of our word of mouth. And what I think we found is we're interested in agencies that are really at the cutting edge of what they do, that understand all the various digital and social mediums, not just as a reference point and an addendum as part of that. And often you judge agencies by the company that they keep in the same way as we all do. And if you've got an agency that isn't being pushed, doesn't have customers or clients that push them, well, often they won't have the technology or the experience to take you to the next level. So you need an agency that's going to push you, that's really integrated into all the mediums and really understands it, and got clients that push them to learn about it and be the best that they can be. And also one that really sort of gets what you're trying to say and is a good working relationship. It's when you're out on a shoot for 30 days, or when you're out planning media around the world, you need to, it's pretty head up.
Okay, let's see if we can take questions from the floor. We've got a couple of roving microphones, so give us a hand if you would like to ask a question. Excuse me, squinting at you, it's quite. I see a hand over there in the middle. If you wouldn't mind telling us who you are and where you're from, please.
Hi, my name's Lisa, I'm from NPS Medicine-wise. I was just wondering, you talked about the fact that you've got Asian tourists with a high disposable income, that high yield market. This campaign is like a yacht, there's a helicopter, a private plane, Walgreen Valley, which is upwards of $800 per person per night. Are you risking polarising sort of the tourists at the other end of the scale, the income scale there?
Thanks, a good question, and one thing that was asked of us when we did that, but I suppose there's two things. First, it was this idea that we've got to create this halo effect by putting out the best of Australia there, and that would inspire people to look elsewhere. I think the thing that's really key for us is all those experiences in there can be done on a champagne or a beer budget. So you're right, you know, places like Walden Valley are that much money, but you can go up to other places in the Blue Mountains and spend camp there or stay in lodges and go out still into some incredible experiences out there. You can go out to Uluru instead of spending over $1,000 a night to 1-for-1-3-1, you can go and camp there or stay in the lodges. And even up at Cape Levesque or El Cuestro, you can have those experiences. Now, heli fishing, sure, you've got to still pay up there, but I remember I went up there about 10, 15 years ago. I camped up there, but I still used all my money and spent my money on the helicopter bit rather than the accommodation. So one of the great things about Australia is that you have that ability to go to many of these extraordinary places and either choose to spend this much or this much. And that's one of the great things about this country.
So
I just wanted to ask a follow-up question to the one that was asked. My name's Mark Kelly, I'm from Travel Trends. Nick, you made a point at the beginning of talking up the Chinese market. It's grown something like 500,000 visitors last year, 20% year on year, or total, I'm not sure, since 2010. And then you segued straight into we're targeting high yield, which is reflected in the advertisement you showed us, the $4 million advertisement. The Chinese market right now is anything but high yield, and spending in Australia per capita is actually flat or gone down slightly over the past 2 years. I'm wondering how you marry up the target on a high volume mass market known for being tight to your strategy on targeting high yield tourists. There seems to be a real disconnect between those two things for mine.
Yeah, but it may appear that there's a disconnect, but when we show these incredible images of this country up in China, with our last ad that we went up there, we had 90% of people who'd seen the ad then went out to do something about it. And we know these are the images that inspire people. We did a lot of testing in China beforehand, and despite the fact that some of those things in there, some of those products are very high yield, just the simple pleasures of walking on a beach with a seal or going out there with a kangaroo, I can assure you, just rates its socks off with the Chinese. That ability to come here and see these great open spaces and be part of this country and interact with our flora and fauna and in our cities is immensely valuable. And if you actually break down that ad, there are only a few elements that are really targeted at the high end. Most of those experiences, as I mentioned,
But the spend per Chinese visitor is less than other high yield markets.
Spend overall is going up.
But the spend per visitor is less, correct?
No,
it's just to repeat that for those who didn't hear, the question was the spend per visitor is less.
No,
that's actually not really that true, actually. There's a lot of other Chinese, a lot of the Chinese market is actually spending far more than most of our other markets around the world now. So it has come from that, it really has. And I think the thing with the China market is that it is changing so dramatically. We all remember 20 years ago when everyone was after the Japanese market, and they were only going to certain places in Australia, and then now you find them cycling over the Nullarbor. The Chinese are expanding in their range of products and things that they want to interact with. And just to that point about China, you know, British Airways, when it launched its brand new first class seats and cabins, first place it put it on was the Shanghai route. So that shows you the kind of money that's out there, and the way people are looking at that market.
I'll take another question on the microphone.
Hi, it's Adam Joseph, Growth Solutions Group. In terms of the field, what's the feedback been from China so far? What about the feedback on social media?
Well, social media so far has been very, very good, but I mean, it's only a couple of days. When we went out and did some research testing over there, the favorability scales were way above norms, and the desire for people to see that and the way it stands out in China was such that the Chinese people immediately connected with it and understood that it was Australia, which is an important part for us to get in there. They knew there's Australia, it had very appealing imagery, and it was something that they aspired to. In fact, Australia up there is like number one in terms of desired locations to go on holiday with. So we know that's out there. We'll wait and see how that develops over time. As I say, the campaign only just launched on Monday. But so far, the comments and everything we've had back is very, very positive. Thank you.
Time for maybe one or maybe two questions. I can see a hand over there.
Hi, Brian Hogan from Regional TV Marketing. I just wanted to ask you to talk through the musical, the choice of soundtrack and the strategy behind that and how you think that'll play out in the Chinese market. And can I just say, initially I wasn't so sure, but it's really grown on me. So I think it's certainly working for me, but I don't know how it'll work for other people.
Well, Brian, first of all, thanks. You're one of the 22.9 million people, so very pleased that it's working for you. Without being flippant, thank you. Honestly, it was nice to get good feedback, actually. So for China, again, we played out this soundtrack when we did some testing in China. And one of the things that they liked it was that it was emotional. The music was emotional. They felt they could draw into it. It wasn't complicated. It didn't have a whole lot of words in it. And, you know, a lot of bands obviously play in English out there as well. But it was emotional for them, and the scene of the way it took them through and this notion of love was really appealing to them. And we know through them, we've seen Weibo platforms from Renren and QQ, and the platforms that they use up there, high aspirational, love-based music and emotional-based music is a really strong connection point. And so when you take something that has that high emotional quotient, that sort of idea of love, and you print it against something that shows a landscape that really brings that to life, I think we believe it's going to work very powerfully up there.
And then finally, and fairly briefly, you've obviously spent a bit of time looking into China. What's your advice to other people who are actually thinking about China in their own roles, in their own marketers? What should marketers in Australia be doing to get ready?
I think the first thing is to understand about the market. You know, the great thing is in today's world with transparency of information, there's a whole plethora of information if you start searching through China. But understanding the consumer and the way they interact is really important. I mean, I think one of the things that was really important when we first started looking into this and the social aspect, when we started spending time on Sina Weibo as their platform, was how people use the online, the social element of it. And to us, our online, our Facebooks, is more an extension of ourselves. But to a lot of people in China, it's not an extension of themselves, it is how they would like themselves to be. It's almost an avatar of themselves. So that's a little way of looking at how you look at people in a social setting. But understanding what they're looking for, and then it's just straightforward things, is having things translated into Chinese, so whether it's traditional or simplified, having things that are targeted towards them, understanding some of the things that they're looking for, and ultimately, most of the stuff in marketing in China is about status. So if you understand where your brand sits in the status point for Chinese, then you'll understand better how to make it work.
We could have gone on for a lot longer, but we are out of time. Please stand there.
That that's it from the Mumbrella Cast for this week. More soon.